Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
I am told the team wants to interview Notre Dame's Marcus Freeman for the job. Freeman is in the midst of a magical run with the Fighting Irish to the national championship game. Obviously, unlikely that he would entertain NFL overtures prior to that game a week from tomorrow against Ohio State. But the Bears have done extensive research for months on Marcus Freeman. He's only 39 years old. Would not be a shock if at some point he at least considers going to the NFL.
And maybe he's considering that right now. Take him away from our good friend Jordan Cornett and Notre Dame. Yeah, he's a former Bear, technically. So let's do that. Jordan Cornett works for NBC and does a great job doing it. He joins us now on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. Hi, Jordan.
Speaks, Lawrence. It's good to be on with you guys, man. Did not expect to hear that kind of intro in the second week of the college football season when we were upended by Northern Illinois. I don't think anybody was interested in Marcus Freeman. And outside of hate text making fun of my program, I don't think anybody was interested in Notre Dame as a talking point anywhere besides how bad they were. So it's been really cool to see where they've come.
Nice to talk to you, Jordan Cornett. Tell us what Marcus does on the regular in terms of position groups he works with or not, how much coordination he does or not, how much CEOing. Obviously a great motivator and leader. That part has been clear.
Great motivator, great leader, definitely has a heavy amount of CEO in him. I mean, look no further than bringing in Denbrock and Golden to be his OC and DC, two of the best in the game. Bringing Denbrock in most recently, Golden being there for the first two seasons of the three-year tenure now of Coach Freeman. So he understands that he needs to surround himself with the proper people. And if that's going to be a guy that ends up being with the Bears, you want him to come in and put guys in position that are the best in their role. And I would argue Al Golden and Coach Denbrock are two of the best at doing that. So that's part of it. He's very hands-on with the scheme, with the game plan. Obviously, he's a defensive-minded guy. You mentioned that he was, you know, drafted by the Bears, I believe, in what was the fifth round, if my memory serves me correctly. Mm-hmm. But he's also a heavy analytics guy, which people don't really talk about that. He's got an analytics guy that is on that sideline with him. One of the stats that I always find intriguing about Notre Dame is we're known to, you know, control the clock and manage a conservative game, but nobody went for it more on fourth down in Power 5 football than Marcus Freeman and Notre Dame. And a lot of parallels can be drawn to that Detroit Lions group up there who loves to do that. And last time I checked, they're having pretty good success. He's a hell of a coach. He's a great man. He's built a culture there. They've been a resilient group. The way they've responded from week two, the injuries they've had throughout the season, major ones, even as recent as that win over Penn State, and they managed to not only win but thrive. And I think it speaks to that guy. He is a culture guy, but he checks every other box you can think of.
When they made the hire, what were your feelings on him? Because I know there were some people like, wow, this is a departure from what Notre Dame usually does.
I was stunned. I was stunned because I know what Notre Dame is. And what I mean by that is you're hiring a guy who was 35 at that point and had never been a head coach. That ain't a Notre Dame move. That ain't a Notre Dame football move. So knowing that he was going to learn on the job was surprising, because you don't really get to learn on the job being the head coach of Notre Dame. And we watched real time. You know, he started off 0-3, that loss to Marshall at home. We watched Marcus Freeman take his lumps early on, and we watched that seat get very hot because it's Notre Dame. We watched him have a couple head-scratching moves that he probably would go back and tweak in his second season that may have cost him at points. But then when you get to year three, like any coach, that's what you're judged on. And we watched this guy really step into it. Sure, they didn't get it done in week two against Northern Illinois, but how they responded. And now you can look at the last two wins against two of the better coaches in college football, certainly with Nick Saban out, the gold standard in Kirby Smart. You can confidently say Coach Freeman outcoached both of them in getting Notre Dame here a week away from being able to be 60 minutes away from a national championship. So it's incredible to watch the growth of Coach Freeman, and now he's comfortable. Now he's one of the best coaches in the game.
Jordan, I know that everyone surrounding that Northern Illinois game has been real tight-lipped. I mean, we had Northern's coach on the station, and he wouldn't tell us what he told Marcus Freeman. Marcus Freeman is not saying what Thomas Hammack told him. I'd love to know what you think might have been said to Marcus Freeman that changed that season and now has Notre Dame with an opportunity to win it all.
You know, it's a great question, and I wish I could give you some inside info there. So I know you're asking me to project. I think he just basically spoke to the vulnerabilities of our team, where they felt like they could attack us on the run, and that was only the second week of the season. Notre Dame's turned out to be one of the most stout defenses against the run and one of the most stout defenses in college football. I think there was some deficiencies, vulnerabilities that the coach saw that he related to Coach Freeman, and maybe there's an adjustment there. I not to name drop, but it's a guy we're talking about. I am pretty close to Coach Marcus Freeman. You know, he's a guy who came down for my late brother's golf outing this past summer down in Cincinnati, Ohio, and was one of the guest speakers. And not only did he come, but he flew in his quarterback, Riley Leonard, Xavier Watts, an All-American defensive guy in his secondary, along with Ben Morrison, an All-American, and had them all down there for it. So I'm pretty close with the guy. I've never dared to ask because it's like one of those games that just – was out of sight, out of mind, never talked about again. For those who follow me on Twitter, and I haven't tweeted much lately, but I did tweet after that game. I said, hey, while everyone's piling on with Northern Illinois loss, just remember, champions, it's all in the response. If anybody has the time or is bored to go back and look, you can see that date. I tweeted that because I truly believe Coach would get those guys back on track and have a chance to play with a national title. I said all wasn't lost. And here we are. And that's because when you're around that guy, that's the kind of belief that's infectious with Coach Freeman. He's an incredible dude.
How does he really feel about James Franklin? You can tell us.
I mean, how could anybody else? I mean, look, I don't want to badmouth the guy. I got bills to pay here. I cover the Big Ten on the football side with NBC. I just thought it was not the best look from Coach Franklin. Uh-huh. And I thought, once again, staring in the face of how you're going to handle this, Coach chose class. I mean, you're coaching for a national championship, and you're talking about the guy like he's a kid sitting next to
him. Yeah, you can say it, Jordan. He was trying to sun him. He tried to sun him in that moment.
He really was. And I'm sitting there thinking, like, this dude would knock your block off, bro. Like, the way he was talking, it's just – and look, I know Franklin's kind of a quirky guy. I thought the timing of it all wasn't proper. I thought the decision to sit there – from his ivory tower and start talking about Notre Dame not being in a conference. And, like, does anybody remember Penn State? Does anybody know Penn State's history? They were independent.
Uh-huh.
They were forced independent, too. They couldn't do it any longer. Notre Dame can still do it. That's why they are. But just the timing of that whole thing, it rubbed me the wrong way. But at the end of the day, Notre Dame got it done. Coach Freeman didn't sink down to that level. And I enjoyed, once again, our coach making our school look good and himself looking better.
Got to tell you, when you said, does anybody remember Penn State's history? That's not where I went. But it's even more reason not to go holier than thou the way that James Franklin does.
That's true, from
time to time. All right. Speaking of holy, tell us about the conversion to Catholicism for one Marcus Freeman in 2022. That's fascinating to me. And as you know, the guy, obviously, I'm sure that went over well within Notre Dame. But that's a pretty that's a big deal. Personally,
it would go over really well with the Bears too, Jordan. Real talk.
Well, you know what I do. He went on an incredible win streak after that speech. I think you'd have to look at the numbers. After he converted to Catholicism, which is funny. But, you know, this whole Chicago Bears, Notre Dame thing, and look, nobody's higher on Coach Freeman. He's also a friend. I just don't know if it benefits either side at this point in time. If I'm Freeman's camp, there's reasons why it's not appealing. And for the Bears, from their side, there's reasons why it's not appealing.
All right, tell us why it's not appealing for Marcus' side. Because I got to tell you, I ran into a Notre Dame fan this morning at the grocery store, and he was like, he would never leave Notre Dame for the Bears.
See, that's absurd. It's the NFL. It's the major leagues. I mean, look, all coaches have a desire to get to the NFL. I'm not head in the clouds Notre Dame guy like that. What I will say is, he is on the – Shay's in the background yelling liar when I say that. Of course, she's going to chime in.
Hey,
maybe
Shay,
I am not Notre Dame guy. They said hello. She's in there making salmon for dinner, and my big ass needs something light like that because I'm trying to cut some pounds.
Whatever.
Anyway, I digress. I would say the reason speaks to answer your question why I think that it's not necessarily a move now for him. At some point, absolutely, the NFL is. But right now, he's on the precipice of turning this Notre Dame team into the 85 Bears. Like, you've learned on the job. You've gotten to this point. The playing field has never been more level in college football. Ask Lawrence about his Alabama Crimson Tide right
now. Right.
Look at the SEC. Look at all these spots right now. Anybody with the right NIL, the right commitment to it, has a chance. Notre Dame happens to be sitting pretty right there. It hasn't been since 88 that Notre Dame was in this position to go. Well, they were in the position in 2012. Back to Alabama.
Roll
we know
tie.
How that went. They're now in position to do something incredible. And if it doesn't happen this year, they're positioned to continue to do it. I do believe there's a loyalty knowing the relationships Freeman has with administration in Notre Dame, how grateful he is to be given the opportunity to learn on the job and get to this spot. And I don't think he's going to jump at the first opportunity. And it's not like the Chicago Bears opportunity is the sexiest of opportunities, if we're being honest with ourselves.
Oh,
I think you're right about that.
How dare you?
By the way, Spiegs, since Jordan brought Shea up, what you might not know is that while Jordan had starred as a basketball player at Notre Dame, loves his alma mater, his lovely wife went to IU. So when Notre Dame and IU played, I imagine that there was some furniture moving at the Cornette house.
Let me tell you, my national sports center hosting, do it all, more talented of the two in the household, wife Shay, just discovered Indiana had a football team when they fell into the field of 12 from the college football playoff. So, like, all this, like, I went to that Notre Dame-Indiana game in South Bend, and you know what she said? The temperature is going to be too cold. I'm good. So she ain't really a fan. Hoosier basketball, she's in. She was sometimes about the football thing. It wasn't as big a deal. She knew what was coming to him, and the inevitable happened. And here we are now.
Is she rooting against you going forward?
No, you know what? She's all in. She's all in now. I think because she knows Marcus, too. Like, we've gotten to know him really well, and there's a part of it. I won't get too heavy here, but you guys know the history of, you know, the tragedy of my brother in 2016 and him passing away. And Marcus supporting our foundation and making the time like he had and endearing himself to all of us in Cincinnati, my wife, my family. Like, I see a little bit of my brother in this run. So, like, wow. Of course, I'm already an obnoxious Notre Dame guy probably already because that's how we are. But there's, like, a greater part of this. Me and my brother always used to go after I graduated. We'd go back for Notre Dame games. He hated Notre Dame. He's a Michigan fan. But he converted. And so, like, there's part of me that's watching this run with a feel of my brother, which makes it that much more magical.
Oh, man. See, that's beautiful.
Yeah, Speak. So now you can't hammer me now.
It was already happening. It was already happening that I was falling for plucky, underrated Notre Dame. Like, they're likable somehow.
Well,
they are.
That, I think, is the coolest part of this.
Yes.
On the heels of, you know, Notre Dame's history, how our fan base is perceived, who Brian Kelly was, despite the fact that he won a lot. Like, now you've got a guy that everybody wants. Like, it's you're watching a team, mind you, yes, there's a lot of talent. We have only one five-star. We're going against a team that has 14. Like, and it's not like people love Ohio State and their fan base. Like, we kind of got everybody rooting for us in the country,
yes,
which is pretty cool.
And let me add something else. Our buddy Barry Rosner, NIU grad, and was in South Bend for that win and, like, had such a good time. But he continues to say just how gracious and kind and cool every Notre Dame fan he interacted with that day was. Like, good for you, man. Good for you guys. And, like, the French of Thomas Hammock and Freeman and all that. Like, the Notre Dame team has good vibes, and it makes me uncomfortable, Jordan, frankly.
I mean, really, who would have thought we'd be here in 25? I mean, who would have thought? But it's true, and I just think the way these guys have responded, the way these guys have banded together, our coach really is at the top, and he's at the pillar of that, and it's infectious with this group. I mean, they're a fun team to root for. Riley Leonard is an all-shucks kind of kid who just can't believe he's playing college football. I happen to think he's a little bit underrated. Yeah, the numbers aren't gaudy. He's not as good as some of the elite in the game, but he's a gamer, man. Like, this team is easy to root for. Like, it's fun to watch. It's just really cool to see how they're putting this thing together, how they're doing it. And I love that Coach Freeman's getting the attention so early in his career as a guy who can maybe change the face of a franchise, the organization, and where it's trending right now. And people think he could be a guy to do it. I love that. And I hope whatever decision he makes is the best one for him and his 85 children and his beautiful wife.
He's got 7 kids, that's for sure. Uh-huh. You're not far behind him, by the way, Cornette. So, you know, keep it down over there.
We're trying to just stay where we are right now. We got a nice household right now. Don't need to add any more to the mix. It's a constant back and forth fight in the Cornette household, not to be too much TMI.
Does Marcus Freeman have enough petty in him to bring Lou Holtz out for this game against Ohio State? Considering the Ryan Day, Lou Holtz thing.
The Ryan Day setup. Look, I guarantee that Lou Holtz will be there for that game. I guarantee they'll have him in some sort of box. Now, to put him on the sideline, bring him out for the handshake in the beginning of the game, that would be pretty intense. I do know this. I'm getting calls from people in our business that want to be there for that game that I did not think would care to see Notre Dame do it. But they've been converted because of Coach Marcus Freeman.
Jordan, what a pleasure, man.
You're absolutely great, man. Thank you so much. Tell Shay we said hello.
I will absolutely do that. Before I let you go, I got to let you know this, Lawrence. My son, my 17-year-old, junior in high school, committed a couple months ago to swim at the University of Alabama as a sprinter. So we got some Crimson Tide in the family.
Now, High tide, exactly. Now, finally.
Think about those NIL deals, getting his little black ass in the pool. I mean, there's going to be a lot of money involved. We're very excited about it. Steve Lawrence, I love you guys, man. My best to Shane as well.
Thanks, man. Great to talk to you, Jordan.
It's Jordan Cornette.
God, he's fun. I was told on Nightline years ago that wasn't a thing.
No, I mean, well, Tim Duncan kind of, you know, dispelled that myth.
Oh, my God.
Shout out to Jordan. I love Jordan. I worked with Jordan and Shay. So seeing them, like, have the opportunity to work together again when Jordan was at ESPN. Uh-huh. But he's right. The star of that family is Shay, and she's showing
it. Hey, quick baseball update. This Japanese pitcher, Roki Sasaki, who's 21 years old and can be signed via the international free agent rules and only a minor league deal, and that window opens tomorrow. His agent is slowly telling teams that they're out of the running on Roki Sasaki. So the Giants were told they are not in. The Mets were told they are not in. The Yankees were told that they are not in. The Rangers have been told that they are not in. That leaves the Dodgers, the Padres, the Mariners, we think, the Blue Jays, and the Cubs. So there are 5 teams left, and I'm sure that Jed Hoyer is looking for a text and wondering and hoping that it doesn't come. Dodgers and Padres thought to be the favorite, with the Mariners an outside possibility, but Cubs are certainly a possibility, and this would be a very exciting young pitcher to add.
We shall see. When we come back, Spiegs will explain why he thinks Tom Brady's above the law. It's next on The Score.